Sixth Sense podcast is brought to you by Grin Brush. Happy teeth, happy planet. Grin Toothbrush is a toothbrush that takes better care of your teeth and the planet. It's beautiful, responsible, and automatic. Listen, fellas, you're going to be saving time and money when you subscribe to get your premium toothbrush delivered to you for less than what you're paying for drugstore brands. Not only that, you're going to be going green. You're going to be saving the environment. The Grin toothbrush uses 85% less plastic than disposable, overpriced drugstore brands. And finally, you're going to be simplifying your life. You get these fresh brush heads, and replacement reminders arrive automatically to you to let you know when to change your brush head so you can be putting the cleanest toothbrush, germ-free, into your mouth. Now, gentlemen, this is a great gift for the ladies, sisters, brothers, kids, mothers, fathers, anyone in your family, friends. So if you want to pick one up for yourself or anyone else, go to grinbrush.com and enter the promo code 6 cents, and you'll get a 15% discount on your subscription. Again, go to grinbrush.com, enter the promo code 6 cents, and you'll get a 15% discount on your subscription. All right, fellas, go sign up and take care of your oral care.
Yeah, I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window. Beer sitting in a console.
Podcast. The Sixth Sense podcast, none other. And right now it is Grinbrush owner Zach Cosby speaking to you. Lit up the Grinbrush starting last week and oddly enough did it on Wednesday night. Got a win on the very next weekend. That'll be part of what we talk about as the Sixth Sense podcast rolls on. Through week five, we're into week six now, so of course we're going to have to review week five for you. More on that matchup of the weekend, dud of the week, and of course looking ahead to week six, we'll see who the mo and dud are for this upcoming week, as well as a bit of league news, and of course we'll take you through the big news in the NFL, and I think a hockey team has hit the ice in the six, so they've hit it pretty hard as well. A little bit of a on cruise control, it appears at the moment, especially for the Stars. Maybe not the Great Dane Freddie Anderson, but again, this is mostly football off the top, and we'll get to the Leafs a little later on. Proud to be joined by a guy who's richer again this week and is starting to need very little introduction, as Andrew Kirkland is on with us right now. Andrew, go ahead.
How are ya?
And I wish I was as good as you. We'll get into it, I'm sure.
Oh, baby. 5-0. 5-0. This is awesome. I gotta admit, I was a little scared this week, a little scared going in, thought I was gonna lose, did the prediction that Shooter McGavin would beat me only because I wanted to cover myself on both sides of it. So I'm happy I won, obviously. But yeah, it's good to be here. I'm looking forward to the show tonight. And I know, we had a record listen last week for our podcast in week five. So pretty jacked up. It's obviously really good because Beth Cosby potentially listened and maybe
nice. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Cosby. We'll try to keep the F bombs to a minimum tonight, but
might be easier without Yorkie. We got Yorkie on assignment. So
yeah. So as you mentioned there, Yorkie is away. He's dealing with some Raptor stuff right now. I don't know where they are. I don't even know. Are they on the road somewhere?
I don't know I don't know if they know where they are. This is like, can we get the season going? They're doing something that's TV related. I'm sure it's growing the game in Canada, so major shout out for them doing that. So I think he's out west. I think he's in Vancouver. So
I think one of the best things about the Raptors right now is the overreaction about anything Kawhi. So like he's talking to teammates in the timeout, according to Danny Green. Is that his name? Danny Green?
Yeah, Danny.
Yeah.
That's Danny.
So now that's a good thing, and everyone's getting jacked up that he's going to re-sign. And it's just like, we'll pump the tires on this, because if he goes somewhere else and, like, I don't know, has a bad meal in Toronto and talks about it, like, people are going to be all freaking out that, you know, he's not liking it here. But and I also find it interesting that Danny Green basically talks for him to the media. So they get all awesome. Their full, yeah. Anyway,
that's another sly move, I think, by Masai. Like, he might know that, right? Like, maybe he's saying, "Oh, if we bring over," I know they had to even out the deal, etc. But Danny Green's got a bit of a personality himself, so
much like the hosts
of the Sixth Sense podcast. I got to tell you, a lot of personality there.
Well, so without Yorkie tonight because he's working somewhere out west. And leading up to this podcast, he told us earlier in the week he wasn't going to make it. We do this on Wednesday night around 9 p.m. He told us he couldn't make it. So we're like, okay, no problem. You know, the guys in the league and around the listeners around the world want to hear the Commissioner Corner. Do you mind doing a pre-recorded and then we'll just slot it in there for the actual podcast? He's like, yep, no problem. I think it was actually his idea
to
actually do this.
He said he would do it.
And then so tonight, coming into the podcast, we're like, Yorkie, all right, so send us over whatever your Commissioner Corner was. Oh, sorry, boys, dropped the ball on that one. Like, literally 20 minutes ago, before the podcast started.
And then, like, in true Yorkie fashion, like, he did it and knows that he let down the world. I didn't let the league down. This is exact text to us.
Oh, he let the league down big time.
Yeah, let me let the show down, but we'll get over it. I feel like one of us might have missed an episode pretty early on, so...
you missed it. You were out in Timbuktu, BC. I've obviously been the mainstay on this podcast, most popular host here, obviously, and just dominating in the league. Having a good year in overall fantasy football.
You picked a great year to start a podcast. Like, I'm glad I didn't pick my own 13 year or whatever that starts.
Oh, my God. You would have quit.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. So, okay, so what we're going to do tonight, listeners, is in lieu of Yorkie, doing a Commissioner Corner and letting the entire league down and all the listeners around the world, we're going to kick it off with what we believe, what Zach Cosby and Andrew Kirkland believe Commissioner Corner would, what Matt York would say on the Commissioner Corner tonight. So, Cosby, you're going to lead it off here. What do you think the Commissioner would say?
Commissioner, I believe, would – are we doing his lukewarm takes, or should we just skip over that? We'll actually have, like – I will say the Commissioner Corner has been pretty decent so far. I'm just trying to kind of go based on what he's talked about so far. Time of year was a good one. Let's see. I'm going to go with boys. I'm not going to try and do an imitation, but I'll do boys. October's still fantastic. The Sox moved on. The Patriots have righted the ship, and there's no drama at all in the league I run, the best fantasy football league, the ultimate fantasy football league, is without any drama whatsoever, boys. So, Bo Sox, yeah. Pats, yeah. Brady's balls, yeah. And I gotta say, the UFFL, keeping the money in-house. Love it. Keep the money in house.
That's good. That's a pretty good Commissioner Corner. And a lot of the stuff in the tone and your delivery was very much like Mr. Letdown Matt York. Okay, so what I will do this evening on the Commissioner Corner, it's all about parity. Boys, we're all in this league together. We're all giving it all we got. We're picking up guys. We're dropping guys. We're making trades. It's wonderful. I love it. And the best thing about it is parity. You've got 9 teams one game apart, either 3-2 or 2-3. It's phenomenal, boys. Keep it going. I like the parity. I like the initiative. I like the trades. I like everything about this league. It's going in the right direction. Keep it up. The parity is what keeps the fans watching. That's my
standing ovation. Standing ovation for you for that Commissioner Corner, but for me, for like, I was about to turn my Skype camera off because it was like too perfect. Because oh my god, I hope he loves those. Yorkie showed up, man.
Can't wait to talk to you
next week.
That's good. Yeah, and he'll be back, and I'm sure he'll be riled up with the Commissioner Corner next week with. kind of been on hiatus this week. So
is it like one of, is it cliche if I'm like week six already? Because that like next week will be week seven we're looking ahead to, which is like unbelievable. Hopefully I'm 500 by then, but
yeah, we're almost at halfway part of our season, right?
So, I'm in one of those weeks though where I wish I could play the games right now. But yeah, again, we'll get to that later after we look at week six. What went down? What's Kirky leading with this week?
So when I think about kind of the week in review, I just want to kind of review those injuries that have happened over the last week. Some of the bigger, there were some pretty big injuries and some big names, at least for me. But okay, Cosby, you're going to have to help me on this one. I'm going to butcher this guy's last name. It's the running back in San Fran, Matt Breida. Is that how you say it?
Sure. People have gone both. I've heard both. Breida.
Right.
That's good enough. Yeah, yeah.
He left in the first quarter. I think for him it was he kind of came out of nowhere. I think there was a lot of expectations for Jarrett McKinnon as the running back in San Fran earlier in the year, who got hurt in the preseason. Mm. So Mr. Breida, or whatever his name, he kind of came through pretty big. And I think he was a big portion of Ozzie's team and actually helped Ozzie get a few wins in maybe like week three and week four. So it sounds like his injury is pretty bad. He's not playing. Doesn't sound like he's playing this week in week six. He's not practicing this week, and he's doubtful for week six. So that's a pretty big injury. The Rams had some big injuries on the wide receiver front. They got Cooks and Cooper Kupp, both with concussions. Obviously, I got Cooks on my team. Not too happy about that. And then Cooper Kupp was a big component of JWoww's team and what. You know, I think last week Cooper Kupp got like something stupid, like three touchdowns. Like week four against you, Cosby, he had like three touchdowns on the Thursday nighter. So that's a pretty big one. AP going down with a dislocated shoulder, another guy in my team. So I'm not too happy about that, but it sounds like he's going in. He says he's okay. I'm assuming most, kind of players would probably say they're going to be okay. But he's getting an MRI done, and yeah, I think he's kind of I think he's kind of questionable for this weekend against the Broncos. But some other smaller injuries, like I'm seeing here, Saquon Barkley had something happen in the kind of at the end of the game. But I think he it's really nothing. And then the other one that I saw was the running back in the Lions. Is it Kerryon Johnson?
For a running back, Kerryon. Terrific. Yeah.
I know he went down, I don't think it's very.
They're not worried. They're buying this week. They're buying, right?
They are buying, so it's not a big deal. I got Theo Riddick on buy too. So, anyways,
too bad if you didn't play. Riddick would have been a little punchier for you, but anyway. Sorry, I interrupted. I was thinking about how Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks both have killer names, and they're sort of replacement if they miss time as the most like everyday name possible. Like Josh Reynolds will fill in. Like just sounds like another dude, but he's getting a little bit of hype on the waiver wire. That's one thing about these. These are the first couple injuries where it's like even the Breida one, and obviously McKinnon in the preseason was massive, but even the Breida. Hype was it was a little bit turned up in the preseason, but obviously with McKinnon going down, then it went sky high, and I think Ozzie still got him in a pretty decent spot. But these are the first couple injuries where they're some waiver wire decisions. They're not like Reynolds. I think is probably still out there in our league. It's not too actionable for the Niners. I mean, you've already got a bad team, pretty tough running back situation with quarterback situation with Beathard. Obviously, Garoppolo went down. So it's more of the waiver wire ads where it's like, I don't know, should I have a look at that guy? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. So we'll see how it shakes down in San Fran. But there's an Ivy Leaguer who could get some grabs. He used to play in Baltimore. So we'll see if he steps into a role this week. I don't know if I'd be rolling him out there this week. But
who are we talking about?
I think it's he's got the really weird last name. You'd have no chance at that one. I think it's Juszczyk is what they call him. He's one of the only fullbacks still in the league, thanks to Kyle Shanahan. Because Yorkie would tell you how Shanahan employs the fullback to perfection, but he's not here to really talk about it, but Kyle Shanahan and getting players open, the fullback is one of them. So maybe a guy to watch, but like I said, it's one of those ones where you can't just – people weren't just going out and grabbing these guys right away, which is usually the case. You see guys getting snapped up, obviously, with Fournette going down. Yeldon was owned within seconds if he wasn't handcuffed and so on. So, yeah, this is that time of year where obviously – everyone's kind of waiting for the big injury still to a couple of the guys. I remember you were saying you were worried about Gurley in the preseason as led up to things. But there have been some big ones, and obviously there's probably still some more to come. But just a kind of a weird week where they're not really that actionable. And obviously we're all watching, as Bondo is, the Dalvin Cook saga still unfold as he's practicing a bit but limited still and obviously working back from the soft tissue injury. So it's tough stuff. It's definitely not exciting to have to talk about it. But Josh Reynolds, we'll see if he can fill in if either of those other guys in the Rams don't play.
Well, so within the you know who was a big pickup, and this was actually Bondo. Like Bondo's grinding it out. As much as his team is terrible, he's grinding it out. He offered me a trade this week, and it included whoever the guy you were just talking about. Who just mentioned in Bondo's team?
I'm looking right now. Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, him. That's who you just talked about. Yeah, I didn't take it. No, but it was an interesting, you know, speaking of, and I don't know why this is not on this injury report, but Jay Ajayi, that's a huge one. Why is he not on this injury report?
Producer. Shake our fist at the producer for that one. Come on.
Yeah, what the hell? Why isn't he on this list that I'm on? But anyways, so he picked up Wendell Smallwood. I know I wanted Wendell Smallwood, and I was actually looking at him earlier on Sunday, and I didn't do it. And I think he picked him up at like 7:30 on Sunday night. So anyways, that was
Smallwood. You wanted Smallwood because you know he's tough because he grew up with his name, Wendell Smallwood.
Right, yeah.
Had to make it through high school with that handle. That's not...
Yeah. it must have been tough, but I'm assuming he took care of himself. But
yeah, he's in the show now, so that's okay.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I still don't know about that either because you got again. I didn't even see the Ajayi injury. I just saw that Smallwood was getting work, and
yeah, you got
Corey Clement there. Like Sproles will be back at some point.
I don't know when, man. I was getting frustrated with him. I dropped him.
Yeah, a lot of leagues that people are just trying to see Kirky. They're trying to figure out how long these guys are going to be helpful, right? Other guys are willing to pull the trigger just like that if they'll be good for a week or two. But I mean, if you're like when it comes to, like one of my situations, I've got Hogan who's been garbage, but I invested a third round pick in this guy. So
I know it's so frustrating.
But still, it's like, am I going to shed him after 5 weeks just to see if Wendell Smallwood will have a bigger role the rest of the year? And it's a toss up really. So
yeah. Now, you know, speaking of kind of those minor little deals, or not deals, but moves that guys made in the UFFL with Smallwood coming on board. I know, you know, there was a couple other guys like, you know, you dropped Duke Johnson, you know, I being a guy you just picked up in a trade, I was a little surprised that I scooped him up and he's in my starting lineup. Jamal Charles got picked up by Burnside after I think he signed a contract in Jacksonville with Fournette going down. But, and, you know, just some minor other stuff like Ty Montgomery was dropped and picked up by somebody else.
Oh, yeah, Stewart gets to continue his love affair. I'm glad you brought that up. Stewart gets to continue his love affair with Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
He had him when he was dual eligible and he thought he was, like, the best thing on earth.
Yeah,
I don't think they talk to him about anything else. I don't see the guy very often, and the first thing he's talking to me about is Ty Montgomery.
Well, so to, you know, kind of dig a little deeper on the hard on he asked for Ty Montgomery. He must have like a notification on his phone about Ty Montgomery because Delamere dropped him. Last night at 8:07 p.m. Stewart picked him up at 8:10. 3 minutes later, he picks up Ty Montgomery. Like, he must have some type of, like I said, notification on Ty Montgomery, you know, because he's got a major hard on for him. But yeah, so
maybe that's where the commissioner is. He's out investigating whether there was any collusion there.
Yeah,
maybe. Delamere texted him and said, "Hey, I'm going to drop your boy.
Yeah, and there's some other, like, Marquise Goodwin. You know, he was a high pick, and then he's got injury problems, so Jay will have to drop him. So, anyways, there's a lot of, like you know, a lot of kind of decent names on the waiver wire just being disappointing this year, or guys getting fed up because of, you know, injury problems or whatever the case may be. But the biggest topic that we should probably talk about is, and now that I think about it, before I mentioned this is probably going to be what Yorkie would have talked about on the Commissioner Corner, but that trade that occurred, big trade between Burnside and JWoww. So going to Burnside was Gronk, Fitzgerald, and Tariq Cohen. Going to JWoww was Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Trey Burton. So big names there, but I think the biggest controversy was Gronk was playing in the Thursday nighter. I think Burnside wanted to get him in, but he couldn't because we, as the commissioning team, got the email to approve the trade at 8:19, and the game started at 8:20. I obviously there was some talk about it in the WhatsApp chat, and I think guys realized that, like, yeah, we're not going to we can't necessarily just approve this in a minute. But anyways, what is your take on that trade between JWoww and It Me Gritty
Burns? Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, the fact that we have to look at the Flyers mascot in our league is just brutal. But the guy kind of makes me laugh, so that's fine. Second of all, yeah, trading that late, that's another reason I hate Thursday Night Football. Let's just be honest. Like, it only gives us 2 days to get this shit done. We got lives to live, etc. The fact that Gronk was even playing was interesting as well. To top it all off, like the fact that Burnside wouldn't even have known if he'd have Gronk this week until the inactives came out was also an interesting thing behind the trade. But I mean, if we go with whoever got the best player wins, I think Keenan Allen is the best in that deal. Surprising for Burnside. I think he's at 2-3 now, though. But surprising for him.
He's bounced back pretty good. He was bottom dwelling with Bondo for a while.
Yeah. Those two are inseparable, even in the standings. But, yeah, I think I'd still take Keenan Allen.
He is 1-4. He lost last week, Burnside.
So he's got some work to do, so. Hopefully Gronk stays healthy for him, because that's a bit of a risk take. I guess Keenan Allen's pretty injury prone, but just the way, like we've talked about before too, the way tight end is this year. I mean, how many guys are you really outplaying? Obviously Gronk's a guarantee going to outplay a lot of guys' tight ends, but I feel like some of the fill-ins he could have got can't do the damage that can't make up for the damage that Keenan Allen would have done compared to other people's wide receivers. So.
Yeah, so my take on this is, like, I think it's, you know, I'm not a big Keenan Allen fan. And I'm kind of talking about the winner of the trade is the whoever gets the best player. I might even argue that Gronk is better than Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. They're both kind of injury prone. But I think overall, if you think about the auxiliary players in that trade, Burnside did get a better pull with Larry Fitzgerald and Tariq Cohen. I just think overall, if you kind of look at the plus minus on that trade, you know, when they were doing it, I would have assumed that Burnside would have won that one, came out on top. So I'd give that trade to Burnside.
I give it to JWoww. So there. So that's good radio. We disagree.
Yeah. It would be really good radio if we, like, thought about it and, like,
yeah, I don't know if I ever
Keenan Allen, or fuck you.
Come on, Gronk's the man. Look at the guy's partying. If you want, you get party points.
Yeah,
I can't do that. It's someone else's trade.
Yeah,
but I do want to back up and you mentioned that I dropped Duke, even though I took him in a trade, and I just kind of treated it as whether or not I would have held on to Nelson Agholor for the same player I picked up, because Agholor is kind of the guy who went in the deal.
Yeah.
And I kind of just said, you know what, probably not. And Duke has been, I mean, he was in that deal just as running back depth anyways, so.
Yeah, so he's now slotted right into my running back starting lineup. potentially RB1 this weekend if Adrian Peterson can't start. But
I love it. Hey, I hope he plays well for you.
Well, you know what? If Bondo's out there and Bondo's listening, he keeps telling everyone he's got a ton of running backs. I think a lot of them are hurt now. So that kind of strategy kind of went by the wayside. But if he wants to talk deals, I am looking for running backs.
Yeah, I don't really have any either. I don't have any depth whatsoever. It's been a weird year. I know this is – we're doing a great job of not talking about our teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into that. So let's get into kind of the week five Mo matchup of the week, which was I don't know if you watched this, how this matchup went. I obviously had my eye on it, and I won it and took the high week again, 150 bones in my pocket, it's getting to week seven. I may even got my money back already, which is unbelievable. But anyways, it was a back and forth affair. I really liked it. I pulled it out on the Monday night with Drew Brees. We had the over under at 308.5, which we were very close. You good at quick math? Like, did we get that? I don't think we did. No, we came in around 305, 306. So a guy who was making the spread on that, I'm pretty pumped. I think it's pretty good.
You should be proud. Yeah. It's fantastic.
But yeah, in that matchup, I can speak a little bit more in depth on it because I watched it a lot. So like, I was happy with obviously Mark Ingram coming back, getting two touchdowns. Took the ball away from Alvin Kamara, who was projected to get 23 points and got 6. So that was a pretty big deal for me. We kind of talked about that in previous pods, but like it was talking about how like. I think you mentioned what Brees would do with Ingram coming back, and obviously they let him Brees run with it, and they wanted to get the record and all that stuff, and the next record you want to focus on touchdowns. So, it's obviously at least it was a hit to Kamara with Ingram coming back, and I'm pretty sure Ingram got two kind of goal line touchdowns. So. Kind of a change for Shooter McGavin and his team, which by the way. Is a sick team name, but the picture that Delamere has on his logo is just awesome. With Shooter McGavin giving the wink and point like in the picture, which is Deli, amazing picture. I think it was it was close. It was back and forth. I would say it was a matchup of the week, and it turned out to be a pretty big matchup from two top teams, and pretty impactful on the overall season. Any takes that you have on that one, Cosby?
No, good Mo. I was watching actually because I had my kicker going to try. I got an outside shot at high week, but it's hilarious because they're actually the point differential between you and I for high week turned on that third and goal holding call by one of the idiot Redskins. If they get that stop, then I get a field goal. And you don't get the Brees touchdown that he lobbed to the wide open tight end or whatever, some nobody.
Yeah, I think when that happened, after he hit through the touchdown, I went to bed. I'm like, all right, I got it. They had a lot of, like, on that drive, they actually had, like, they had, like, two stops.
Yeah.
Penalties. Like, it was just brutal. The Redskins defense was just really killing themselves.
The Kamara thing is very interesting now. But they'll have where he needs to catch passes again. They'll kind of settle back in. Like, this was as extreme as it gets for his non-use, I think.
Yeah.
And I think they're buying this week too, right? So people are saying maybe he's getting a little rest heading in because they used him so much in the first four. Yorkie would tell us a bit more about that, but he's not here. I mentioned that already. But
yeah. But overall, Delamere's still in a good spot, even with Kamara. Like, obviously, Kamara's going to get points. There's no doubt about it. But, he's got some pretty strong running backs, and Crowell, who's decent. I know Powell's taking some touches there, but Yeldon and Mixon are, here they're going to get him points. So,
he's got Nyheim Hines, too. I've been trying to get Nyheim Hines off him for everyone out there who's looking for a PPR guy.
And he's got Bernard. He's got some, like, pretty good running backs on his squad. But I would say that the wide receivers are a little bit lacking, obviously, and that obviously drives in a PPR league. So, moving on to the dud, which was
you, Cosby, or lots of Kareem Puffs. I think that's your name, right?
Yeah.
And then, or Lutz as Kareem Puff. Is that?
Yeah, and I get to keep it because I won, so I keep my team name for another week. Good. Amazing.
Yeah. So you played, obviously, and this was, and no disrespect to you, Cosby, as to why you were in the dud of the week. You were just in the dud of the week because Bondo is just struggling so
struggling. Fast.
Like, I don't even, like, we should run the numbers. We should have a numbers guy on this one. I feel like Yorkie's the fat guy, but, like, the numbers guy. Like, how many times has Bondo been the lowest points total of a week? At least twice now, right? So he came with a 110. You had 158. The line on that one, I had it at 284.5. So a little under on both of mine. You know, that coming in around 269. But, yeah, you know, you did what you needed to do in that one, and you obviously were close to the high week, and just Bondo did not do it. So, overall, I think a pretty good, you know, I think a very close kind of odds maker on that one. I was pretty
sick. Yeah, but, if you can be within 50.
On that? Give me your take on this one, because you were obviously in it and watching it.
I would just say that we knew Rodgers was going to have a bit of a day. Devontae Adams came through. New Odell might do his thing against Carolina too. Their secondary hasn't been amazing. So, having those two guys go toe to toe was awesome. But then again, yeah, just playing against Bondo. I mean, he has Ajayi go out. We didn't know if Dalvin Cook would play. So that was tough. Lamar Miller ended up being
on his play or what happened with him?
He was active, but he was kind of just, emergency backup. Like when your year's going bad, that your year's going bad. So, I got what I needed from the guys I expected, and James White's been a beast for me. And then I lost the high week because basically out of pride, because any dumb idiot wouldn't have played Chris Hogan over Kenyon Drake, but I did it anyway just because I wanted to stick it to the league, and instead he stuck it to me. So.
When did Jay Ajayi go out in that game? And that was the – is that the Thursday nighter?
No, they were early on – they were early on Sunday, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's tough for Bondo. Like, so Quincy Inunua.
Inunua played with a brace on his hand that no one told anyone about.
Five targets, zero catches. Lamar Miller didn't play. Jay Ajayi went down. Like – Jordan Reed's
a ghost.
Yeah, like just one catch, 21 yards. Like the fact that even like we knock on Bondo and his team, and it sucks. But like it sucks that, you know, there's a lot of injuries on this team, and like you say, you know, sometimes it just goes really bad for you. But like the fact that he actually did put up 110 with like four guys at basically zero,
and you know, Mahomes on his bench. You made the right call to bench Mahomes because he had Phil Rivers instead.
Why is he not peddling Mahomes somewhere? Like, that's just a sexy pick. But to that point, you know, the Chiefs are playing the Patriots this weekend, which is, like, if I had to put an over-under on that game, like, 115.5.
That would be so great.
Yeah.
That would be, I don't know, it might be college-esque. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see who. Because Belichick always picks one guy. Yorkie would tell us again that Belichick picks one guy to shut down. So, be interesting to see.
All right. So, leading ahead to week six now. Okay, we haven't decided who the mole or the dud is. But you know what? I'm just kind of looking here, and I think the dud is easy. And I don't know if you're looking at the matchup list, but I have an easy one to pick here. You know who it is.
I might not. You go. We'll see.
Okay. So, and my criteria on how I pick the dud and the mo of the week is basically on the positions that you are currently in, and it's how it's a meaningless game. So. The dud to me, and also on historical, how healthy are you putting up in this league, right? So the dud for me is It Me Gritty and G&J. Both 1-4, 12 versus 13. Again, that's like no one cares about, you know, it's a Baltimore Orioles, Toronto Blue Jays matchup in the end of September when they're both out of the playoffs. Like, you know, that's to me is a dud. And, you know, kind of basing my logic on why that's a dud is the 12 versus 13. I have to say the mole would be, you know, myself versus Yorkie. First versus fourth. Like no other ones are really close, but like, you know, this is where I struggle with what do we name the matchup of the week? Is it something that's like important to the actual, like getting into the playoffs or, you know, extending a lead or quality of teams going at each other? Like, I don't know, but like to me right now where we are at the season, you know, that first versus four is probably what I would consider a matchup of the week.
Yeah, and I think as long as we have an undefeated team, like, that's probably what we want to have in prime time. Like, the beauty of the Mo is we get to flex it's our flex spot every time, right? So,
right.
We get to flex in the game. Yorkie's got the highest projection, too.
Yeah, it's off the charts.
Yeah, we'll keep Neil in the league here. Our listeners will probably hate it, but I don't mind that one.
Because I'm in the Mo again?
Well,
it's
all podcast. It's an all-podcast matchup of the week. But everyone else will get there. You guys will get there. I probably will never be in one, but we can go from there. Because, again, based on that logic, you could argue that 12 versus 13, they're kind of almost in must-wins. So is that dramatic enough to kind of focus on? I'd probably say no. And then... Yeah, I can't wait to hear what you say for dud as well.
Oh, like, you know, it's just to me, you know, the fact that it's just to me, it's easy. You know, Burnside's crap. G&J are obviously off their rocker right now. I think they've lost four in a row.
You already said that for dud.
Pardon me?
I just repeated your dud.
Yeah.
It's there.
But, like, that's, I don't know, Mo, check this out. Got a little live trade offer coming in from JWoww as we speak.
Oh, okay, that's good. That saves my screw-up about not remembering that you just told me something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he wants to trade a WR for a WR. I don't get it. And... yeah, makes no sense, JWoww.
You need a running back.
Yeah.
I don't have enough.
But, like, I don't understand what he's doing here. So he wants to offer me a wide receiver that is on the injury report.
Nice.
And owned in 8% of all fantasy leagues. For a guy who's been lighting it up and is owned in 90% of leagues. I don't get this. It just, to me, doesn't make sense. Outright rejection, no comment back. But okay, so going back to the Mo, we'll talk about what is the projected points on this one.
Yes.
Let me just look, or sorry, not the projected points, kind of the over under. So I will say the over under on this one, is, and we're gonna write this down, 302.5. So. Jaeger Bombers versus Discount Belichick. And I'm not just adding up the projected points because it actually does add into 302 roughly. But I didn't take that into consideration on my, you know, maybe a little bit, but, you know, when I actually put the line on there. But 302.5. You adding that into the doc so we'll remember it? Okay.
Yes.
So what is your thoughts on...
So I have to put the names, though. I'm pretty sure we're going to remember what it was.
Yeah, you can put the names in there, yeah. So what do you think, Cosby, as if you had to pick that matchup, over or under?
Okay, while I think about it, I'll tell the world who's in it.
Okay. So, or I'll tell the world. You want me to think about it, or you want... Or maybe that's part of your thinking. Go, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's check it out. We got Discount Belichick in the matchup of the week. against the Jaeger Bombers. So going for Yorkie on the DBs. I just came up with that. It's great. This team name is DB. All right, we got Matt Ryan in the QB slot. AJ Green's going to light up Pittsburgh. Keelan Cole against Dallas. Aguilar plays the Giants Thursday night. Saquon and his weird knee issue, which should be fine, have the Eagles on Thursday as well, so that'll be a big matchup for this one, as he also has Ertz going at tight end. His other running back is Sony Michel. We have the flex spot filled by Will Fuller. It looks like he's going to play. And then we're not mentioning kickers and defenses. I've got, because you'd mentioned how the projections are close, I've got two guys, I got three guys of his coming in under the projection there, so let's go over to the Jaeger Bombers. K-Dog, quarterback, Case Keenum, broke up with him 2 weeks ago. It was ugly. Antonio Brown has been consistently held down by Cincinnati. We'll see what happens. Tyreek Hill could go banana sandwich while Belichick tries to stop everyone else on the Chiefs. Thielen, sick, stupid that no one picked him. Adrian Peterson, Duke Johnson. We all know how I feel about him now, too. Kyle Rudolph's your tight end. Brandon Cooks in the flex spot. We'll see if he can get cleared neurologically. I feel like that'd be a good rap album, neurologically. And then, yeah, again, not mentioning the kickers and Ds. So, like, at the same time as that one, the fact that you're playing Duke Johnson and the fact that I have the unders for Yorkie, I'm going to take the under. And I got burned. I took the over last week thinking it was a lock, but.
So you got the under of 302?
Yeah, I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm under. Like, okay, one, I don't even know if Adrian Peterson is going to go. I don't even know if Brandon Cooks is going to go. So, like, yeah. What do I have coming in there? On top of that, like, Tavon Austin is going to be a running back. Doesn't even play running back. And then I got Tyler Boyd. And then just the fact that I got, you know, I got Breeze on the bench, you know, like
I'm here. I've heard Boyd could be good out of the slot against Pittsburgh. So
yeah, no, I don't doubt it. So it's going to be an interesting pick. But you know, I think Yorkie is a prime candidate for kind of the high week again.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to stink it up, and I'm not doing it. Like I'm literally not doing it again this week to just say I've covered on both sides. Although, yes, I am covered on both sides, but I do truly believe that I am not going to win this. When your projected points is down by 14, you know, it's obviously not good. So.
Yeah, I got. I'll take Yorkie in that one as well. What did we do for the other? What was the dud of the week?
So the dud of the week was G&J. Yeah, get me gritty. So, all right. Those guys I'll put at, not even looking at the projected points, 268.5.
So it's 134 each?
Yeah.
I'm already thinking over.
You want to go through the matchups and do your thing there? Or what?
Yeah, a lot of upside. I'm just looking. A lot of upside players on Burnside squad. Man, Chris Thompson had a tough week last week against the Saints. That was crazy.
Wow.
That was nuts. Down wrong.
Shit ton.
Well, just in general, though, like, Smith looked out of sorts. Just a weird, weird game, which you could have booked in because, I mean, it was going to be all about Breeze no matter what anyways. So I'll take the over in that one. A lot of upside dudes on both of these teams.
What did I say it was? 268.5. Did you write that down?
Are you typing it? How come? Why am I getting assigned all this stuff?
I don't know, because you're in there. You're talking about
it. 260. You're in there. It shows me that you're right next to the place you could have typed it.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Yeah, all right, 268. So, and then it's obviously Burnside versus G&J. So, okay, I'm gonna go with the over on this one.
Yeah, we're both cool.
Because I do think G&J or that team, whatever I want to call them, they are. They're going to have a good week. I think Brady could put up at least 40.
Yeah. Brady could go crazy.
Yeah.
Kiki Kuti, they have as well. Not, yeah, I mean,
I don't know who P. Lindsay is in That guy's got an afro, though. Holy crap.
Yeah, Philip Lindsay's pretty mega. He's kind of the lead back there. He's got a tough matchup with the Rams. But I was also going to say, I'm glad we're looking at this matchup because he has Christian McCaffrey. G&J have Christian McCaffrey. I almost used singular there. It's plural. Christian McCaffrey is, if you look at it, actually the top projected player for our league for the rest of the year. That's not a quarterback.
Really?
So, yeah, and they got him 13th, I think. So interesting stuff happening in Carolina there. Not to say that it'll continue, but, yeah, his usage is amazing. His O-line's playing pretty well. He's got the option quarterback to help him out, and obviously catching passes like, I don't know, come up with a metaphor or simile for that. Catching passes like, whatever.
I'm not good at stuff like that, and it's kind of pretend on a Wednesday night. Okay, so, all right, 268, I'm going over on that one.
Yeah, we both went over. We'll see what happens. I just hope, I hope the Sunday night is sweet.
Yeah. So we've come and passed the 40-minute mark, which is
sick.
The fact that me and you are just doing this together without Yorkie, zero help from him, you know, kind of on probation from a commissioner status. I'm just kidding, Yorkie. You are the best commissioner. You're always the commissioner with a probation on the podcast. But, so I think we can lead into kind of the challenge of this week. So nobody said anything about the over-unders but last week. But, yeah, like throw that out there. You know, we got the Mo at 302.5, which is between Kirky and Yorkie, and then 268 on the dud for Burnside versus Gary. Feedback as to what you think that is over under to our listeners would be great. But I think the other challenge is, you know, the days are passing quickly, and we're going to be getting a JWoww soon. So next Sunday, the 21st, who's going to be at JWoww? So challenge out there. Put your attendance being like, yep, I'm going to be there. We're going to break his internet. He has a 75-inch TV, and we're going to have a ton of devices going off. It's going to be awesome. And then, obviously, another challenge would be, you know, going to the Bills trip. So who's signing up for that? I know Bondo and Birdside said they'd be interested in that. I don't doubt that, you know, some other guys would be interested as well, like you, Yorkie, Hendry. You know, so, you know, it could be a great day there. Hopefully the weather is phenomenal, but yeah, that would be my challenge. And so I'll turn to you, Cosby, are on those two things. What is your plan?
We'll call it the RSVP. That's what we're doing this week.
Right.
I was gonna make another terrible joke. We'll pass. We'll save that one. If you want, that'll be another challenge. If you want to hear my terrible joke, just ask me. off air.
So are you making those days or what?
JWoww's for sure. And it looks like we might be fam jamming at that as well, which should be fun.
Yeah.
Which should be fun. And yeah, I haven't looked ahead to that weekend though. That's my other, the nerves are, I think actually I did look ahead and my projection's pretty low. So I might have to do some trade work just to make sure that my team is, holding up their end of the bargain while we're with all the other managers. That would be huge. So yeah. In for JWoww, Bills trip, lower likelihood. We'll just say that for now.
Okay. That's all fine. You'll be missed, but whatever. We'll get over it.
Yeah.
All right. So that kind of wraps up the football talk. I you know, obviously being the Sixth Sense podcast, I'm pretty jacked. I mean, I just think overall – things are good right now. You've got, obviously, you know, my team's 5-0. Football's awesome. Had a couple injuries this week. You know, it's okay. But, you know, I just get happier when the Leafs are doing well and they're winning. And the fact that, like these guys are sick. Like, it's going to be a problem soon because, well, one, it's already a problem because Nylander's not even signed yet. And he wants to sign for, you know, some money and it's not going to happen. But, you know, a pretty good amount. But, you know, the fact that Marner and Matthews are just lighting it up, Matthews being the, you know, the player of the week in the NHL last week was amazing. But then, like, you add in, like, geez, we got John Tavares, like, sniping a hat trick on Sunday night. Like, it's awesome. And it was a little disappointing on Saturday night when they lost to the Sens. I watched that game. It was actually pretty livid. We have a group chat going on with some other guys, and JWoww's, you know, a Sens fan, he's chirping off like he's They just won the Stanley Cup, and I was like, give me a break. Like, you know, the Sens suck. They're brutal. I can't believe it was, you know, it's early in the season, obviously, but I'm pretty surprised they beat the Leafs. But obviously, the Leafs were not looking to them. They were really more focused on Chicago on the Sunday night. But anyways, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty happy. Like, I'm a little disappointed that Nylander hasn't signed yet. Every time I go to TSN.com, I just wait for that headline as to when he'll sign and seeing it on TSN, but haven't obviously seen it yet. It's great to see Kasperi Kapanen get into that role now on that line with Matthews and get the chance and obviously show what he can do with his speed. And, you know, he's bigger than I thought he was, and he's stronger on the puck than I thought he was. So, you know, it's you know, as bad as Nylander's not in the lineup, it, you know, could be a little bit of a gift to give Kapanen that chance and hopefully give him the confidence to maybe parlay this into a good season, and even not with Matthews when he comes back. Like, I don't know. It just opens up more options. You keep capping it with Matthews, and then you move Nylander down to Kadri's line, start to, you know, try to get Kadri going. Like, so it's just really good time to have all these options. But, you know, it's going to be really good. And then with the Raptors coming on board and obviously Kawhi doing what he's going to be doing, it sounds like he's healthy, which is awesome. You know, I think we're really in for a good – kind of 6 months of just sports action, especially in Toronto here.
Yeah, living it up in the six. That's the way to do it. So first question then is, does Babcock is not really a line juggler though, is he? Or is that, am I wrong in that?
No, he tends to stick with kind of lines, and he's been pretty disciplined in the few years that I've watched him closely. Like, he doesn't like messing around stuff. He'll tweak from time to time and sometimes send a message. Like, I remember last year he threw Nylander down to the fourth line, or threw Marner down to the fourth line to kind of send a message.
He did some Kadri stuff too. I think I remember, because I remember it being crazy that he did something with Kadri, or people, the beat writers were shocked that he even did it. But
right, yeah. So he tends to roll them pretty well, and he doesn't make too many changes. You know, I'm kind of surprised what he's doing. Not surprised, I'm happy, but in a little bit surprised what he's doing with the power play and just throwing all those big names out there. Like, the power play is sick. Like, they got Tavares, Matthew, Marner, Kadri, and I think Riley back there. It's, like, just disgusting. And they score every time they go out there, which is awesome. But, yeah, so we'll see. It'll be interesting to what happens when Nylander comes back, but... And who knows? Like, I think they got to shore up their D. Like, I think Ron Hainsey's going to get exposed this year pretty bad. But, you know, with Nylander coming back and maybe, you know, kind of auctioning Kapanen, you know, maybe he's expendable. I don't know, right? Or maybe, you know, give a couple other guys a good kind of tryout and show their stuff, like Olivo. Maybe they could parlay that into a decent, or a package for a decent defenseman, right? But I don't think they need to necessarily go nuts, or who knows?
Man, just try and enjoy this part, Kirk. You don't try and think about the trade deadline yet or any of that.
Yeah, I'm not thinking about trade downs. I'm more thinking about there's options, right?
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it's a good time to be a Toronto fan, that's for sure.
And if the start of the season is any indication, I guess my closing thought is for the Leafs wise, anyways, if the start of the season is any indication, I get to relax and sort of just enjoy this. I get to hear you guys talk about it, be excited about it, but. It looks like at work so far, I don't have anyone in my ear every day telling me how the Leafs are doing. I also get to kind of just chill. And
why is no one telling you about how the Leafs are doing?
I think there's a couple of Leafs fans, but they're pretty reserved. My boy Mo kind of keeps to himself about it, and he knows that I'm not as huge into hockey anymore, so... He'll keep me updated, though, when something sick happens, but he's not like a in-your-face Leafs fan, typical annoying Leafs fan at work guy, so
yeah,
I'm pretty pumped about that.
Well, that's good, but yeah, it's I think you'll probably get your dosage of Leafs stuff just in general, because I think it's going to get pretty jacked up. So, you know, that'll be good, so... Anyway, so there we go. Kind of wrapped up another edition, episode number 11, by the way, of the Sixth Sense. Like, That's pretty good, right?
Oh man, but starting with you saying let's do a podcast on your couch, like I mean, yeah, we're flying, we're rolling. Let's keep it up.
So it's funny. So York, you're sending us a text message right now. We want to know how Ozzy was. So it's interesting. So just for all the listeners out there, if you are listening still in the 10 minute mark.
But thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for one. But yeah, Ozzy has been booked the last 2 weeks and bailed the day of the last 2 weeks. So, we might have to get another guest, and I'm thinking it may be JWoww next week.
Okay, so big time JWoww would be a big time.
Because he's bringing us all over, so maybe he can talk about what's going to happen on Sunday. Would be kind of cool and pump everyone up.
I love it. Great producing as usual. What I will say though is I know it ruins the joke to say it, but Ozzy's not listening, so let's book Ozzy the next 2 weeks ourselves and cancel him.
Done.
Yeah, so 100%. We'll do that, and then done. After that, you remember the Jimmy Kimmel thing? I don't know if he does it anymore, but I forget how long it was, but he closed every show with, we ran out of time for Matt Damon.
Yeah, no, we should totally do that for Ozzy. Yeah, you know, Ozzy... You know, we wish we could get to you, but we just ran out of time. So maybe next time.
That's perfect.
Anyways.
All right,
my buddy. All right. We're going to head it out. We'll get this podcast dropped. We'll light up some records on the listens. But good luck to everyone this weekend. Go get them in the UFFL. Moving week again. A lot of 3-2s, 2-3s. So we got some big stuff happening. Cosby, as always, it's a pleasure. And we'll talk with you later.
Sip it.
I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window and ice cold beer sitting in the console.